tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from Zexant Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Tuesday morning service of July the 5th, 1988, tape number 8. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jerry Garner is the teacher of the morning.
Brother Jerry's going to, where he mentioned to us about the five kings of the five lords of the Canaanites and the five kings of the Amorites. At least we're going to hear some of it anyway this morning. And he's got an hour and 25 minutes. He's got an hour and 25 minutes. Hour and 20 minutes. So we'll see what he can do in that. He's a good teacher. I enjoy listening to him.
We'll see what
I don't get tired listening to him.
We'll see what God can do.
Yeah, the Lord has to do.
Hallelujah. If he's not going to do it, I'm going home now. Wow. Y'all know what's happening? God is purging his temple. And I live down on the seacoast. I know. I've sit for hours and watched those big waves come in. And you know something about the crest of that wave? There ain't no garbage in the top of that wave. It all, as the wave goes up, it starts falling out. And you get up on the top. My son's a surfer. And he tried to get Dad out there one time. Had to find a big board. But anyway, he wanted to take me. They also skateboard downtown Houston at night. They're called skate animals or whatever. And God told me, he says, you don't put your thumb on your son. I'll put my hand around him. So in the last 2.5 years, I've just let my son be in God's hand. And my wife was a little fretful. But let me tell you, God's cleaned him up and kept him clean. I can't. I cannot. And you parents can't either. You can't force your convictions on your children. You pray for them. You encourage them. You intercede. But they reach a point in early adulthood where you got to cut the string and let them stand on their own. Something extra. That's just where I'm at. Hallelujah. Where was I going? We talked about the way. Okay. Whew. Hallelujah. I love it when God does something. He's got a couple of something extras this morning. Y'all want something extra? Something. Okay. We're going to stand. We're going to stand. I'm going to sing for you. I'm going to ask the Lord to bless us. And while you're standing, please stand on your own free will. Don't make me. I never want anybody to say, let's stand and now sing number 15. Let's now sit down. Now let's burp. You know, let's do it because God wants you to do it, not because some man told you to do it. But the Lord convicted me just a while ago, standing back there. He said, I want my temple clean, totally purged. And he reminded me sometime back, he convicted me of emulating men, going hundreds of miles to hear some man speak. And in here, I was saying, well, I'm going because he's a good preacher. But I knew in my heart, really. And see, God wants that emulation. He doesn't want it from men. And that's why he's shaking his church, because his people have had their eyes on man and not on him. And they go to some man thinking, well, he's got enough faith that I'll get healed. And it doesn't work that way. So while I sing this little simple tune he gave me, let's just ask the Lord to cleanse us of all that self-worship, worshiping man, claiming I'm of Apollos and I'm of this and I'm of that. I've been to this deliverance service and I'm, you know, da-da-da, I'll drive 1,000 miles. Let's ask God to forgive us of all of that and get our eyes off of any man, any man. I think God's raising up men right now in the land that you don't particularly want to follow, but they might have the word, okay? So if you worship anything, worship the word. Don't worship any man. And if a man comes to you bringing some other message, then don't receive it. It says don't even let him in your house. Don't even fellowship with him unless he brings you the living word, and you'll know it in here, okay? Let's ask the Lord to forgive us of those times, no matter how great or small, that we have emulated men, that we have thought highly of men because they were up there, you know? Let's ask God to forgive us. We're not looking and threatening them. We're saying, us, God, clean us up. That's what this camp's all about this week, okay?
Holy Spirit, come to us and cleanse us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for looking to men, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for worshiping, Lord, at false idols, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, and wash us with tears. Forgive us, Lord, for thinking more, Lord, of men than of you. Wash our minds and circumcise our hearts, Lord. Send your spirit of truth, Lord, and knowledge, Lord, and understanding too. Send your counsel, Lord, to be wise here, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. We exalt you, Lord, above this place. Let the whole earth sing. Let the angels rejoice for the King of Kings, Lord. Renew our minds and wash us, Lord, and cause us to see. Unplug our ears, Lord, and let us hear a pure, holy word. Wash us, Lord, we confess, Lord, of listening for hours, Lord, to false teachings and doctrines of men and demons, Lord. We ask, dear Lord, to be renewed in our mind, Lord, and understand and sing holy praises to Christ Jesus, our King. Anoint this place, Lord, with your glory cloud each and every day. Drive the demons, Lord, into darkness, and let your light shine right here. And dear Lord, someday, if the light should go out, Lord, let your light in us begin to shine so bright. We ask you, Lord, to anoint us now with eyes apt to see. Unplug our ears, dear Lord, and speak to us.
Hallelujah. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe see. That's what we're going to talk about this morning, is the flesh man. If some of you have been struggling to get free from demonic oppression, if some of you have been struggling to be healed, and you can't understand why it doesn't come, and you've been told, well, you don't have enough faith, God's given every man a measure of faith. So don't let that be the answer. The answer may lie in the fact that we don't understand ourselves. We don't understand the flesh man and the working of the flesh. So this morning, and I've never talked for an hour and 25 minutes, so y'all may have to say, go on, you know. Cause I remember when I was a Baptist man, if it went over 22 minutes, I was out the door. And by the way, if we don't get to it this week, I would like to let you make a little note and ask the Holy Spirit to discern this for you, and go read 2 Kings chapter 11 and ask the Lord to tell you who are those who go off duty on the Sabbath and who are those who come on duty on the Sabbath. There is a hidden man of message that will just curl your hair. So if you ever want a curly hair, read that. Okay? You'll never have to roll your hair again, Blanche. Hallelujah. But don't read it now. We got to go to Joshua 13. In due season, it'll come, okay? They told me that maybe I didn't talk loud enough. My three sons say I talk plenty loud. Hallelujah. In Joshua 13, verses 1, 2, and 3, Joshua came up against an enemy in the land. Now, Joshua was old, advanced in years. Anybody feel old and advanced in years? Like, oh, Lord, if you don't, we can't. Well, Joshua was old and advanced in years. And there's a little secret in here. Joshua had been, let's call it, a Christian for a long time. But he came against an enemy that he had not met before. And it came in the form of a Philistine. And this is the land that yet remains, all the territory of the Philistines and all that of the Geshites. I'm reading in Joshua chapter 13, verses 1, 2, and 3. From Shinar there is east, which is east of Egypt, as far as the border of Ekron northward, which is counted as Canaanite, the five lords of the Philistines. And here they are. The Gazites, the Ashdonites, the Asclenites, the Gittites, and the Ekronites, and the Aviites. Now, that's East Texas pronunciation of the old Hebrew. So don't sweat it, okay? Whatever, however God tells you to say it, say it, okay? I don't sweat the small stuff, because God, you know, God covers us. But in those names, in the Hebrew, our flesh man is revealed to us. And if you have ears to hear and a heart to receive, God will do a work in you. And that's why we're all here. We didn't come to get our ears scratched. You know, when a sheep has a disease and it's in her ear, he don't want to just get scratched. He wants it dug out and cleaned out. And too many of us have had itching ears for too long. We want to go get tickled and rejuvenate just a little bit, like a little jump start. Well, God wants to give you a new battery. The five lords of the Philistine, the Gazite, G-A-Z-I-T-E-S, and the Strongs. I may even give you the reference numbers to save you some time if you go tracking after me. It's 5841 and 5794 in the Strongs Concordance. The Gazite's name literally means greedy, harsh, strong. Now, we look at that and think, well, I'm not really a greedy person, but are we? Is there an ounce of greed in us anywhere? Selfishness. Arlene really talked about that yesterday. And it can come in the most deceiving, pretty little packages sometimes. You can real good, and you work real hard, and you sit back and you polish those jars and you put them on the shelf, and you sit down and say, Lord, thank you for providing for my family. I'm going to get us through the tribulation. And down the road, there's a family of five kids that are hungry. That's flesh. We're going to talk about flesh this morning. You know, evil spirits come, and they find an agreement with the flesh. Brother Tommy Cook read that scripture last night, that the flesh wars against the spirit. It does. The spiritual forces come at your flesh and find agreement in your flesh. You may cast out the spirit, but the agreement in the flesh is still there. You got trouble. That's why your healing's blocked. That's why your total maintenance of your deliverance is blocked. You haven't dealt with the flesh man. The flesh man must be walked off daily, not run off in a deliverance. Okay, remember that. This is twofold this morning. The Gazite is the greedy side of us. The Ashdonites, Ashdodites, his Strong's number is 796. He is the ravager. He is out of control. He is a spoiler. He causes you to waste, okay? He causes you to, well, if I can't have it, I'll tear it up. If this marriage won't last and do it the way I want to do, I'll just get out of it. He is the ravager. He comes in and ravages your land. He is not a foul spirit. He is a flesh man that tears up, destroys, and ravages itself. Okay? He's the destroyer in the flesh. So when you deal with that ravager in the spirit man, deal with the ravager side of your flesh. Call out that Ashdonite by name and say, you ravager, come out of there. I put that down. I want that cast off of me. I want that pulled off in Jesus' name. Okay? The Ashclenites, Ashkelonites, his number in the Strong's is 832. I love this one because, boy, have I struggled, not with me personally, but never mind, I'm calling names. My mother-in-law is about 10,000 miles from here. But, and she, praise God, we were all in the Baptist church, and she sat down one Christmas Eve at my house, and she said, okay, tell me your stuff. And when God got through telling her his stuff, she was crying and weeping and years of bitterness and resentment and weighing and measuring tit for tat came out. The Ashlenite means literally weighing everything, keeping score, tit for tat. We came to your house last Christmas, so this Christmas you got to come to our house. I mow the yard of the church, so you do this. We keep score. The flesh man keeps score on us, tit for tat, okay? Okay, God, I gave 20, you send me 200. Flesh. Let's call it what it is. And I don't care how pretty it's preached, it's still flesh. Okay? I may have to travel quick and stay low sometime. Sorry. The next two, I lump two of them together, the Gittites, because they mean the same thing. G-I-T-T-I-T-E-S. And the Ekronites, E-K-R-O-N-I-T-E-S. Their Strong's reference numbers is 1663 and 6139. Means quite literally to tread down, to hamstring, to exterminate, to dig down, to root up, to eradicate. Repentive ties one or up, down to traditions of man. The flesh wants to tie you down. The flesh wants roots somewhere. The flesh wants a home church that is my church. I paid for them pews. I mopped those floors. I paid for that potty. I cleaned it. It's mine. And ain't no preacher going to tell me to get out. It's flesh. It's not tradition. It's flesh man wanting to hold on so severely that he will allow to be trodden down. I don't care if you run over me with a Mack truck. I'm sitting on my pew. And don't anybody dare get my parking place in the parking lot. I'll be mad. That is flesh. God's people don't need roots in the earth. They need to be cut into the vine. His roots are deeper than ours. I don't want a potato plant that I plant and hang on to. Avites is the last lord of the Philistines. 5757. This is where a lot of us are struggling right now today. Literally means in the Hebrew to overthrow or pervert, turn from path, and cause to commit iniquity. Let's say you conquer the first four lords of the Philistines. You're doing pretty well. You're going to church. You're going to Copeland Seminar. You're going to Rhema. You're going to all these places, and man, you got a bookcase stuffed full. It's sagging. I know a guy that's got one beside his potty. He has a great big house in Deer Park. And up one wall, because I went in there one time, it's loaded. Man, everybody is on that rack. If all the preachers knew they were in that man's potty, you can imagine the thing. Everybody. He goes in there and he's got a tape player in there. I mean, you can go in there for days and stay. It's just... And I went in there and I go... I come out and said, you got all that? What's wrong with you? I mean, golly, you ought to have everything. Well, I found out. And I warn every one of y'all. God's got a place for you. He's got a mission for you and a ministry for you. And if Satan can't stop you, he'll push you beyond where God wanted you. And that's what that name means right there, to overthrow or pervert. Satan will bring you a message 100% and 99% will be truth. And he'll slip in that little 1% that's perverted, that's false. And if you aren't walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit, guess what? You just received. And that little seed begins to grow. And if you parrot what other men say, if you begin to stand on their convictions, their doctrines, you're going to begin to receive seeds that are perverted. God built that in. That's our measuring stick. We know. If you're not balancing out, if you don't have that butter and honey mixture of the written Word of God and the revealed Word of God, sooner or later you're going to vomit and devour the whole table. That's a warning to us all. And don't fret. If you're in a church and say, that preacher's not preaching what I believe, and he may not be. Don't let Satan move you into an area of judgment. Don't do it. It's a trick of Satan. The flesh man wants to judge everything. He's going to keep... And that preacher may be wrong, but it's not your right to tell him. That man belongs to God, and God will deal with him more harshly than he's going to deal with you. But Satan will put that man in your path trying to trip you up. I did it. I've asked forgiveness, and the Lord's forgiven me for it. Don't do it. And especially when you begin to move in understanding... And you sit there on the back of that pew, why can't they see what they're doing? God didn't set you there as judge. He's the judge. And if you're uncomfortable, get out and go somewhere else. And if you can't find somewhere to go, then don't go at all. The Word says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together with other believers. Assembling, jointly fitted together. And if you're in the wrong joint, don't go in this hour. Okay? Let's move off the five lords of the Philistines. Y'all got those now? Good. Y'all are good. We're gonna be through early for lunch. I can tell you right now. Let's move on to Joshua 10, going backwards here. Joshua came up against some kings, and they said, what's going on with these children of Israel? They overthrew one of the largest cities in the territory. And God said, and the men of Gibeon, in verse 6 of chapter 10 of Joshua, and the men of Gibeon sent to the camp of Gilgal, saying, do not forsake your servants. Come to us quickly, save us, and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the mountains have gathered against us. We're going to deal with all the kings of the Amorites. You'll see them in verse 3 up there if you want them by name. It reads them off. Mark that. I went to the Strong's Concordance. I got the meaning of their name. An amazing thing began to be revealed to me. Amorite, we all know, means tongue. It means to say, to speak, to answer, to appoint, to declare, to command, to sense of publicity, great swelling words of emptiness. It may sound pretty. It may tickle your ears. It may give you a quick fix like a Snicker bar, but it's not life to you because it's empty. It's because the flesh tongue has taken a word and delivered it. When God gives you a message for somebody personally and you go over to it, don't let Satan deliver it. And that hurts because I've done that before and God's convicted me of it right then. He said, I gave you the truth, but you delivered it with your own tongue, your fleshly tongue. Don't go over and give them the answer. Go over and tell them what God said and let the Holy Spirit minister to them. Let's take ourselves and put us in the realm we're supposed to be in, okay? Sons of God, carrying out His direction, not ours. Remember, liberty in Christ is not an occasion for the flesh. It's an occasion to be in liberty in Christ Jesus, to be led by His Spirit. Okay, Amorite, let's all agree it means the tongue, first of all. Now let's go down to Kings. The types of tongues that come forth. Adonizedek, A-D-O-N-I-Z-E-D-E-K, Lord of Justice, to rule, sovereignly, controller, human or divine, lightning answer, as to lighten, means quick answer. Don't be too quick to answer. Anger rises up and blah. How many of y'all have done so good at something, been somewhere, got so blessed and so cleansed and so washed, man, you're feeling, ha-da, nothing can happen. You go out and something happens and whoa, anger. And you go, wait a minute, God, I got deliverance from that. What is it? It's not a demon. It's your tongue. It's a lightning quick tongue that wants to come back in the flesh. Repent of it right there and say, come on out, flesh. Quit doing that. Take control of yourself. Christ said, deny self. Tongue, I deny your right to have a lightning quick response. I deny your right to be mad. I deny your right to speak for me. Speak from your heart. Don't speak from your head. Like Mary's story, I love that. Like the old man with wisdom. He didn't answer, did he? He waited. He pondered. He let the Spirit speak to him. He knew what that young kid was saying and asking the whole time. You know what's going on. Listen to somebody. God's people need to be listeners, not talkers and babbling all the time. You need to be listening. When you counsel with somebody, listen. Don't talk. Listen and let them talk, because sooner or later the Spirit will reveal itself. And you know that. You listen and let Him talk, because they become proud. Well, I'm in here and I know it and I'm going to talk. I've had conversations with people at prayer groups sometimes that won't come up and, oh, you're so nice, you're so smart, I just love you. And I hear this serpent dripping out, and all of a sudden these spirits begin to talk in between their words. They don't even know they're saying that. They really don't. It's right hidden in their what they're talking about. And the Spirit of the Lord says, listen to that, listen to that. But if you've got your mouth open and running, you can't hear what they're saying. Did you know that? If your tongue's engaged, your ears are closed. It kind of works like that. Okay. Lightning quick answer, the first king. The second king is the king of Hebron, H-E-B-R-O-N, the seat of association. He's the charmer. He's the one that likes to cast spells. He wants to join every organization. He comes into the church and he wants to be everything. He wants to be an elder. He'll sweep floors, but he wants to be an elder. He wants to do this. He heaps up praise and joy. He heaps up fellowship for himself around himself. He is society. He is the animal. You know, he's the one that just wants to be in all of it. And he's so nice. And he comes up and he says, oh, you're so smart. You're so smarter than I am. You're so much holier than I am. You're doing so good. I just love you. And that is just flesh heaped upon flesh. God's people don't need to be complimented by flesh. We don't need that. We might need a hug of reassurance. We might need a real genuine, I love you. My wife used to get on me all the time. She said, you don't tell me you love me enough. That was when we were first married 21 years ago. And I'd always say, if I say it every day, it doesn't mean as much. But when I come and get your face and hold it and look you in the eye and say, I love you. I said, I want it to mean a lot. The world has totally perverted the word love. Anybody that'll love a dog more than a human being, or I love my Chevy, I love my truck. Come on. That's the second tongue. The third tongue, J-A-R-M-U-T-H, also means running wildly. means to elevate, to be high, to exalt self, to be haughty, to be loud, to promote, speak presumptuously, and it breeds worms, the word says. I have a lady that really intercedes for me and prays for me, and about 3 years ago, the Lord showed me this, and she called me, and she said, I just feel wormy today. And I said, hallelujah, let's talk about those worms. It's wormy. There's no outlet. There's no real true ministry. It's always learning but never coming to the full understanding. Never growing up into the Godhead. Never being complete in the body. Never coming together like this. Never being fitly joined together with Christ, with the mind of Christ. It's wormy. And if you feel wormy, ask God to purge out the wormy tongue and establish you in His way of doing things. Okay? This is not condemnation. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. This is for edification. So we'll know what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a flesh nature that must be denied and then put under service to the Lord. Okay? God don't want you dead. He wants people to live for Him. You don't have to die for Christ. Live for Him. That's tougher. It's easier to die for Him. We'll all die for Him, but do we want to live for Him? That's the tough part. That's every day, 24 hours. Okay, the next one. Let's move down to the next king. J-A-P-H-I-A. Japheth. He is bright, shining to show self. My prayer partner and I used to have a little thing that we did. We would have a conversation. And, you know, when you're bouncing the word back and forth and you like to talk, you like to hear yourself, which is okay. You need to ventilate and get some air going in there every once in a while. We had a little thing where he said, you can talk until you say the word I or me, then you got to shut up and I'll talk. Try that with someone. And every time you say, you want to say me or I, say God. God did. God preached last night. God laid hands on some folks last night. Don't say I did, me. That is a severe terminal disease in the body of Christ, is I and me-itis. I, me, and my ministry. You ain't got a ministry. You either have the gospel of Jesus Christ or you have a perverted ministry. Because sooner or later you're going to get off on the ditch. You're going to get up there on that step like Glenn talked about. One of them lions is going to get you because you're not in the middle. You're not balanced with butter and honey going up those seven steps to Solomon's temple. If you're over here just revelating and having a good time, one of them lions is going to seeking whom he may devour. Okay? That's out of balance. If you learn these Amorites, if you learn the Philistines and know how they work against you and against the body of Christ, you'll have victory over them. Remember, the hedge of protection over Job was understanding in the mind. Understanding. Taking that carnal mind and washing it. Putting the Word of God in. Literally, yourself. Not what I say. Don't parrot, well, this Jerry Garner said that that means da-da-da. Uh-uh. You go to the Word and you search it out for yourself. And remember it. You'll know it whenever you have to dig in there. Y'all know how long I worked on that first sermon that I taught the other day about those seven steps? It took me 5 years. Now, I don't study slow. But God kept refining that thing over and over and over. It took a lot of understanding. I preached that sermon. That was the very first sermon I ever preached in my life to a Bible study group 5 years ago. And God has refined that over and over and over. He's given me more. It hasn't changed an ounce. The Word of God has not changed one ounce. But my understanding has been changed. And He'll do that for you. So don't rest on what happened yesterday. Don't rest on what you learned yesterday. Today's a new day. And tomorrow, brand new. Move with God. Don't be afraid. Don't find an oasis in the middle of the desert and set your tent down in concrete. Too many denominations have already done that. Can you imagine the children of Israel dragging that big old tabernacle around? Oh, I'd hate to have been on that tent pole duty. You know, because God did not have, we're going to leave at 8 in the morning. We'll stop for noon at lunch. Then we'll stop at 5 and we'll put it up. God stopped when and where He wanted to. They may have just got that thing, sweating in the sun for 5 hours to get that tabernacle set up. And the trumpet's blowing because the cloud's moving. Roll it up. Let's go. God's moving again. God ain't going to let us get comfortable where you are. And Lake Hamilton's going to change every day. So don't come back here 6 months now and think, well, everything's good. I got my seat. I got the same pad on my seat that I had last time. I'm comfortable here. God's going to turn the gas up here. It ain't going to be comfortable. If you're comfortable coming and sitting here, something's going to happen to you. God's going to turn the heat up. Don't get comfortable. If you're comfortable in the world, you're deceived. Okay? Let's move on to this next king so we can get on with something else here. Okay. He's always talking about himself, to reveal himself. The last king, D-E-B-I-R. short, a word, without, Lodibar, pastureless, fold. Do y'all remember little Mephibosheth that came out of the house of Saul when it fell? And the maid dropped him on the stairs and crippled him for life? He was a royal heir to the throne. Did not know. He was lied to. He's like the church. He's been lied to run and be afraid and hide. David was not going to kill him. David was going to put him at his table and take care of him. But he didn't know that. His nursemaid grabbed him up, ran down the stairs, broke his little feet, and he was a cripple all the days of his life. And he was hid in a place called Lodibar. No pastures, scorpions, snakes, every foul thing, nothing green growing. I mean, it was deserted. And that's where the church is today. They're in a dry place. They're crippled. And we're not supposed to be. It's like God told Adam and Eve, who told you were naked? And God's fixing to come tell the church, who told you were naked? Where's all your gifts? Where's your righteousness? Where's your robe? I dressed you. I sent my son down here to dress you up. What are you doing here naked? If you're naked in the spirit, God's fixing to come and get you. He's going to say, hey, you're going to wash your robe of righteousness during the tribulation. That's some of them. It's in the Word. Brother Tommy Philk will preach it like that. That's the way it is. There are groups, okay? Let's move on. That word, that king literally means that side of us that says, well, I'll just sulk. I was like that when I was a little... I wasn't a chubby kid, by the way. I didn't get chubby till I was 12. Before then, I was very shriveled up. I had the rheumatic fever, and they fattened me up. Back then, fat was healthy, back in the early 50s. But anyway, that side of us, that nature... You laugh, Blanche. I've lost weight this week, and I don't know why. These pants didn't fit. I brought them in praying, hoping, you know. And this morning they're a little bit loose, you know. Fine. They prayed last time to get that gluttony spirit out of me, but, you know, I overrode them. Flesh. That was a flesh glutton come out. Oh, God. Y'all, isn't it good to be in a family? My whole life I cried because my parents divorced when I was 12 and my mother married 7 times. Every time I came home from college, I had a new daddy. I'm serious, y'all. I came in one Saturday morning with my roommate from school and a strange man answered the door. I said, I owe you. He said, I'm your new daddy. And when I got married, more than anything else, I wanted a family that stayed together. I wanted roots. My daddy remarried and had an Indian bride over here. My mom was marrying all these guys. I couldn't keep up. I had to call long distance and ask my wife, what is my mother's name? I was going to call her in Dallas, and I said, what's she going by? She's been a Garner. She's been a Lewis. She's been a Kent. She's been a Duck. She married a guy named Duck. And I said, Mama, you're Millie Duck. And I said, he ain't adopting me. I said, I would be Jerry Don Duck. I ain't going to be a duck. But anyway, all those daddies right in a row. So when my wife and I got married, out of frustration... You know, she didn't have a family life. I didn't have a home life. More than anything, I wanted a family where I could feel like a family. And you know what God's done just in the last few years? He's revealed a real family. No matter where I go in this country, there's family. And man, you feel it in here. When I met Blanche last year up here, it was family time. Whether she knew it or I knew it, didn't matter. It was family, y'all. And this kind of family goes beyond flesh and blood. That's what this is, y'all. If we ever get a hold of who we really are, we're going to be awesome. I mean awesome. I'm getting excited. Oh, by the way, y'all tell Linda I dressed up this morning. I didn't just wear a shirt. She stays after me all the time. You got to look good. You can't look good. Well, anyway... Oh, hallelujah. God's not going to let me get an image, I don't guess. He's not going to let me get in that little... I'd love to have one of them little silk hankies and the little silk tie, you know, and the suit, and it looks slim and trimming. Hi, y'all. You know. God just, he ain't gonna let me. That's all right. It don't matter. So don't sulk. Don't. I remember one time I pulled on my mama. She made me mad. I didn't speak to that woman for about 3.5 days. She cried. She beat me. She spanked me. She begged. She pleaded. Just talk to me. Talk ugly. Just talk. And man, I was going to show her. Zip. And I did it. That flesh. Somebody hurt your feeling, you're going to sit there with them. Don't do it for the wrong reason. Peace be still means in peace. It don't mean in pieces. That they're... I'm going to peace inside, but it don't matter. Flesh. Without a word. And guess what you're doing? You're drying up your vineyard. You're destroying your own garden. And when times are tough and you need to eat of the vine, ain't going to be no vine to eat on. Because you denied the Holy Spirit. Okay. Let's leave the Amorite kings for right now. Lord, just remind me of that spotted speckle sermon about the... That speckled sermon about those animals, you know, about the fence that old what's-his-face whittled out, and those cows all gave birth to spotted and speckled babies. Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. That's somewhere else. Okay. Let's get over to Exodus 23 right quick. We have dealt with the Amorite kings, the tongue. We have dealt with the flesh man, which is the Philistines. Go back and study it for yourself. Don't just listen to me. Please. Don't anybody start following me. I don't want a bunch of little Jerry Garners running around here. There's enough of me right now. I had to ask some people to leave our group for a time because they wanted to follow me around everywhere I went and walk in my footsteps and all that. Uh-uh. Come under my convictions, they don't work. I was not doing them a favor, believe me. Exodus 23. What am I doing in Joshua? I'm sorry. No wonder it doesn't show up. In Exodus 23, verse 23. The children of Israel are going in to take the promised land. Let me start at verse 20. Behold, I sent an angel before you to keep you in the way. God has sent you an angel to keep you in the way if you'll listen. That conviction on the inside. The angel knows the way. And he's trying to lead us in the way if you'll listen. And bring you into the place which I have prepared. You don't have to make preparations for the place. God's prepared the place. You make preparations for your journey from here to here and go. Don't worry about what's going to happen when you get there. Just go. Be prepared on your way. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. But if indeed you obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies, an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Pezerites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. God cuts down your enemy for you. If you're walking in his way, in obedience to his word, the enemy will fall before you. Gideon's army on the ridge was holding a clay pot with a torch stuck in it and a trumpet going to fight. Would you want to stand on top of a hill with thousands of Midianites in the valley with big swords and things to cut you to little pieces? You're going to blow in a trumpet and crack in a vessel up here. This clay pot is your vessel, by the way. The light that's contained inside is the light of Christ. And when you break your vessel, Christ begins to shine through you. That's what that 300 were doing on top of that ridge. And what happened? The enemy scattered and began to kill themselves and run down the road. You don't got to kill them. God kills them. But you better know who you are in Christ Jesus. Having authority. Okay? Okay, let's go down to verse 29. I will not, please, everybody hear this. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased in what? Increased in faith, increased in faithfulness, increased in knowledge, increased in wisdom, increased in understanding. When you have increased, I'll drive him on out before you. Don't sit there and cry and moan and groan and say, God, get them out. Get them out. He says, where's your fruit? Where's your faith? Where's your perseverance? Where's your holiness? Come on. Where's your muscle at? Develop something. Don't come up here every 6 months and sit down and play with the same demon. When you come back, have a little more faith and fiber and strength and understanding. and perseverance and holiness in you. And the enemy will flee from you. You will have no man to have to teach you. Or nobody to shake you till something falls loose, if it's your teeth or your eyeglasses. That's for babies. You take a child and shake him if you want your attention. Grow up. The lion devours babies. A roaring lion. Okay. Little by little, I'll drive them out from before you until you have increased. And you inherit the land. This is the land. This is your inheritance. This is the promised land. God said, I give you that body. You are a spirit. You have a soul. And I put you in this body, and you are to have dominion over it. You're to have dominion over the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and everything that creeps and crawls on the earth. You are to have dominion. He establishes a power of attorney for you over this body. And you are to exercise that. First and foremost, don't go next door or down to the church if you're not in authority over this one first. You can't agree with somebody else in prayer if your body, soul, and spirit are out of alignment and they're not in agreement. You wonder why your prayers aren't answered? You're not in agreement yourself. And you go over to Sister So-and-so because she's so spiritual, and you line up with her, and you're out of order, and nothing happens. And you accuse her. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Look at yourself. If you point a finger, guess what? The rest of them are going back at you. Don't anybody point a finger at nobody. It's liable to go off. And just for a moment now, I'm going to take you through a little steps. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures where I got these from. And we're going to identify demonic forces that are sent on assignment from Satan to attack you, and how and where they come to your flesh man, and how they come into agreement with your flesh man, and how they seek to totally strip you naked of your spiritual armor. Y'all ready? One by one. You've got a helmet of salvation. You've got a breastplate of righteousness. You have a sword of the Spirit. You have faith, and your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That is your armor. Everybody has a piece of armor, the whole thing. And guess what? News for you, it's not your armor. It's God's armor. He gives you His armor. And when Satan comes to your door like the big, hairy, scary guy that he thinks he is, I'm standing here with a helmet of God on my head, the breastplate of righteousness from God on my chest. My waist is girded with truth and understanding. My feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. They're His shoes. I'm standing on holy ground. I'm holding His sword that divides the truth from a lie. I have enough shield of faith to protect me. Now, beat it. Remind him who you are and in what authority you stand. And that's it. He leaves. Okay. Let's take them one by one. Let's take the helmet of salvation. Now, that helmet of salvation is sitting on your head, and there is an enemy trying to get it off. And there's an enemy on the inside trying to push it off. Okay? The enemy on the inside is the Pezerite spirit, the Pezerite side of your flesh. I don't want to call him a spirit. That messes people up. It's not a spirit. It's flesh, man. The Pezerite flesh. He's trying to push that thing off. Pezerite literally means, in the Hebrew, open country, wide open, no hedge, unwalled, to separate, wants to exclude others from around him. Wide open spaces, no hedge, no understanding. Job had a hedge. Job had understanding. The body of Christ doesn't have understanding. It may have some knowledge and some wisdom, but it doesn't have understanding of what it knows. It reads the scriptures, but it doesn't understand the scriptures. There is no hedge. If you take one scripture that you do not understand, that you might know and repeat and cry and write on the wall and put on your refrigerator and stick it on your car door, it doesn't give you nothing if you don't understand what it means. And if you have to start with one scripture, say, God, give me understanding, and I'm going to wait here till you do. And then mean it. And then do it. I waited 6 weeks one time for God to just answer one little thing for me. But I was determined, God, if I don't understand nothing else, I won't understand this one scripture. He'll do it. When He looks at you and sees faith, sees fruits of endurance, sees patience begin to grow, sees His Spirit in you, you're waiting in peace, and you're waiting in love and joy. You're not in the waiting, God, you said you'd do it. It's a promise. I'm a child of the King. Where's the answer? Y'all, you ever seen a little kid act like that? God's seen a bunch of us little kids act like that. Do you know who I am? Yeah, I know who you are. What's your name? Jacob. Mm-mm. supplanter, liar, cheat. Yeah, you're right, God. Okay, I'm going to change your name. You're going to be Israel. We need a name change. We need a nature change. That Pezerite sitting in there, and he don't want to learn nothing. He is unlearned. He wants to stay that way, unwalled. He loves the view. So pretty. Everybody desires to get out in the country, see the trees, the flowers. Oh, it's so pretty out here. God wants to stay out here. Guess what? He's not going to let you live on the mountaintop. He may take you up there to get refreshed sometime. And we love to stay there. But the enemy is in the valley. And sooner or later, you're going to have to go down in the valley. Now, if you get down in the valley without a wall, you're in deep stuff then. No understanding. You don't know who you're fighting against. Because guess who comes to attack your hammer of salvation with an unwalled village around it, and they have open access. A familiar spirit that you're going to find in 1 Samuel 28:7-8. And a spirit of Antichrist will come to your mind. 1 John 4:3. The spirit of Antichrist will attack an unwalled village. And there's no defense against it. There's no hedge. If you don't understand the Word of God, if you don't understand God's divine nature, if you're not a partaker of that divine nature, you are open prey to the Antichrist spirit. If he manages to get your hem of salvation off, the Antichrist spirit will just come in and move out at will. I've seen people appear to get better, and they come back in worse state than they were. What happened? They got deliverance. They're back again. Same problem. Spirits are nomadic. They move in and out. They come in, rape and plunder and pillage and drive off, and they leave again. Well, I got that one. And they go. Like the Midianites, when the children of Israel were hiding in the caves, you know, they come out at night and farm and raise cows, go hide in the cave during the day, and the Midianites come to the land. In fact, these tomatoes, these onions, we'll go on down the road and kill that cow. Let's have a barbecue. That's what the enemy does to us. What little fruit we managed to produce here in the promised land is ravaged from us. God's people are hurting. And why are we hurting? My people perish for lack of knowledge. Because the enemy said, you're okay. It's all right. That's just the way you are. You're born that way. It's all right. You deserve to be a little cranky. Go ahead. And every single one of these self-improvement, self-evaluation things that have come into the church that is so perverted, this Christian psychology ought to be padlocked and swept out of every church in the land. The biggest Baptist church that I used to be a member of in our town, 1,800 people go over there regularly. And they've got a great big office for Christian counseling, $50 an hour. And they're preaching what? Self-esteem, self-motivation. Well, you don't have a good self-image. I hope I don't. I hope I have the image of Christ. And I know, I don't care, I'm going to tell all. I know two young people. I know their families personally. One of his mothers is going to come and pick me up later this week from our fellowship now. Son had a drug problem and everybody just cracked up. Oh, falling apart. What did that Christian counselor do? Put him to a hospital. What was the bill? $77,000. A little girl who didn't like herself because she wasn't loved at home. The same church. The same godly, ungodly Christian counselor takes her because she says she's going to commit suicide. Oh, let's put her in the hospital. She's still there. It's been 2 months. Little boy in the same situation, going to commit suicide. My son's best friend. And I didn't notice the child coming to our house very often, but when he did, I'd see this just black thing hanging over him. But I had adopted a hands-off attitude. Stay away from that church. Stay away from those sheep, because that man's already accused you in public of stealing sheep. I ain't a sheep herder. I ain't going to steal nobody's little bah. You know what I think about sheep? They smell, they cry a lot, they get diseased. Don't want nobody's sheep, please, Lord. Don't send me nobody's sheep. But anyway, he had already threatened me in public about stealing sheep, proselyting. I was driving around 610 one day around Houston, one of our elders, and man, I said, I'm tired of it. Jesus Christ was the biggest guy in the world to take people out of churches. He was a proselyter. I'm going to proselyte. I'm going to knock on every door in this town. Say, are you hurting? I want to introduce you to my big friend here, Jesus Christ. He's going to help you out. I don't want you to come down to my fellowship. I want you to get help. I don't care where you go. Go anywhere the Holy Spirit leads you to go. But anyway, I try to stay away from that family. That little boy is going to commit suicide, 12 years old. Why? His daddy and mama were the cornerstones of this big Baptist church. Well, his mama fell in love with one of the deacons. That deacon left his wife and married that mama. This deacon went over here and married this man's wife.
They switched, about three of them. They all flip-flopped, and they all had their, they were all there within the church. And I'm going, this little boy is going to commit suicide because of all that's going on in the church and in his family. And I don't even, well, I don't care, don't matter. We're so close in, I don't really care what happens now. All I care about is some little poor boy was suffering because of some selfish adults that were so immature in Christ that they didn't know how to handle it. And the pulpit was down there preaching, only good things come from God. And we're having a marvelous time. Have you read our program?
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.